Hare Krishna. Yeah, are there any questions?
Yes, Maharaj. Yeah. And we got several questions from the U.S. The first one is, we know that there are varnas and ashramas, namely the four social classes and also the four spiritual stages. Mm-hmm. So he's asking how this varna ashrama dharma is related to Bhagavad dharma. So what's the difference and how is their relationship?
Well, Hare Krishna. What could we really know of these things? We would be considered outcast, outside the system. So, but in Bhagavad Gita, I mean, we've heard something from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev. It's interesting, as you know, like Modi, Narendra Modi, you know who he is? You don't know. He's the Prime Minister of India, the nation of India. Since you're from China, that can be forgiven. But not to talk so much about him, but he has to deal with the stereotypes. Like, you know, there's the stereotype of what is China, Chinese people. So what is the stereotype of India? They're numerous. But what did he say? We've gone from being thought of as the charmers of the snake, now it's the mouse, meaning the computer, because of Bangalore, the IT industry. But anyway, so he's dealing with the stereotype. So one of the stereotypes is the caste system. That's how this is generally thought of in the Western world. Oh, in India, they have the caste system, and that's prevented. Only the Brahmins can study, and all kinds of things like that. Right? And it's based upon birth, right? Janma. But in Bhagavad Gita, interestingly, Krishna says, Chatur Varna Maya Sristam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. Saying, actually, this system comes from me originally. And what is it based upon? Not janma, but guna and karma. Means qualities and tendencies is what it means here, if we were to translate it roughly. What are your natural qualities and tendencies? And we find out everyone's not the same. In the world, the democratic world, where they like to say, you know, all men are created equal. And unfortunately, they forgot to mention women when they made that statement. So, little flawed thinking from the very beginning. But all men are created equal. And these are self-evident truths. But really, it's a bit of a... There's something not being said. Equal on some level, but what would be more accurate to say is all beings are eternally unique. Right? So varnashram, as opposed to the stereotype, allows for uniqueness of expression when it's based on guna and karma, qualities and tendencies. We're in the Kali Yuga, where everything has devolved into something other than it was originally. Right? There's also the same, Varnashrama Charvata, Parakpuman, Vishnur Aradite Pungsang Nanyatat Toshakaranam. What was the purpose of this system originally? If you had to put it in a phrase, Guru Maharaj is saying, this is how you systematically organize society so it can march toward Vaikuntha. How society as a whole can march away from out of the mundane, the world of misconception, toward Vaikuntha. That was the idea. Right? But enter the Kali Yuga, where everything degrades and becomes a shadow or a carcass of what it once was. Right? So Guru Maharaj's specialty is the Ramananda Samvad, the talk of Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. So much so that Srila Saraswati Thakur renamed him Ramananda Das, when his birth name was Ramendra Chandra Bhattacharya. Then when he got initiation from Srila Saraswati Thakur, Saraswati Thakur changed his name to Ramendra Sundar. And Guru Maharaj at that time said, this Rama, again, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare, how should we think of Rama? And Saraswati Thakur told him, Raman Radha, Radha Raman. And Guru Maharaj, when he was telling that, he said, that what he said is still ringing in my ears, some 50, so many years later. Radha Raman. No. And when his godbrothers asked him, superior godbrothers, senior godbrothers, what sort of Harikatha did Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur give at the time of your initiation? And he said, he mentioned something like this in regard to Madhura Rasa. And they said, oh, you're very fortunate. Right? So that Guru Maharaj, when his, he might have still, yeah, he was still so-called white-clad and traveling with Ban Maharaj and some others. He gave a talk at Godavari, where the Ramananda Samvad took place, that Ban Maharaj said was the greatest lecture he'd ever heard of all time. And he'd heard so many speak. So when I asked Gurudev once, because Guru Maharaj, by the time we came to know him and be with him, although he wore glasses, sometimes he would like take them off and go, no difference. Because he is what they call legally blind. He can just make out some shapes or see things, but not see clearly. So then I thought, well, oh, so Guru Maharaj, he hears someone reads him the newspaper. On the radio, he hears the news to stay, to keep abreast of what the latest discoveries are in science and technology and the news of the world. But I asked Srila Govinda Maharaj, of course, Guru Maharaj is not reading. Does he ever read the scriptures anymore? Like we understand, he reached the point where he assimilated all scriptural knowledge, so much so that Srila Saraswati Thakur said, Sridharam Sakalaveti, he knows everything. But still, I was just interested to know. And first Gurudev, he said, Srila Govinda said, no, no. He goes, oh, well, he said, sometimes he likes to hear something. And he said, but always the same thing. And he has me read him that. And I said, oh, what is that? And he said, the Ramananda Samvad from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He likes to go through that repeatedly to revisit that. What he could recite verbatim, still he likes to hear it again and reconsider that. And the reason I mention this is because it's there when this dialogue takes place by Mahaprabhu inquiring from Ramananda. It's not, we have Mahaprabhu Rupa Shiksha, Sanatana Shiksha, Mahaprabhu instructing Rupa Goswami, instructing Sanatana Goswami. But at this point, Mahaprabhu has just taken sannyas. We know after that he went madly to Puri, right? Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Badan, Kahan Karun, Kahan Pan, Brajendra Nandan. He's searching for Sri Krishna. right? That even when they're doing the sannyas yoga, he's getting up and starts dancing and chanting, and they have to calm him down to try and finish with the ceremony. Afterwards, he runs off madly, not knowing which direction. Guru Maharaj said, in a childlike mentality. That's why Nityananda could later deceive him. When Nityananda, they're searching for Mahaprabhu, they can only find him by hearing his wailing. If they hear someone piteously crying out for Krishna in the distance, Nityananda Prabhu, I forget the four, Damodar Pandit, maybe Chandrasekhar, anyway, four, they're accompanying Mahaprabhu. He thinks he's going to Vrindavan. But this is very beautiful because in the madness of his search for Sri Krishna, he's running in any and every direction, not necessarily the direction of Vrindavan. He runs into Bangladesh, what's called Raradesh, where the Ganga doesn't flow. He's running in many different places, and they're chasing after him, trying to protect him. So after, in that sort of divine madness, Nityananda Prabhu sees some Gopa Balak, that means cowherd boys, and he tells them, if this sannyasi comes to you and asks you which is the way to Vrindavan, every point this way. And they're like, yeah. And tell him, and it's about the Ganga, the Jamuna. There's some trick of Nityananda Prabhu. Because, what is it? The eastern side of the Ganga can be taken to be Jamuna. And the western side is Ganga. Anyway, it's a divine trick of Nityananda Prabhu to capture Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that happens. They send him in a particular direction. And then Mahaprabhu, he's surprised. He's in this divine state where he cannot recognize exactly who Nityananda is, but he's calling him Sripad. He sees him as some sort of renunciate or whatever. Which way to Vrindavan? Oh, come this way. And then, and here, just see the Jamuna. Chidananda Bano, Sarananda Shuno. He's so happy. He bathes in the Jamuna. What did he say? Brahma Dhatri, Brahma Prema Gatri. This is like Krishna Prema in liquid form. He's so happy to be there. And he's bathing, chanting prayers. And when he comes out of the water, he only has the clothes he's wearing. There's a Dvaita Prabhu with fresh cloth. And Mahaprabhu and this deep internal childlike ecstatic thing. He's going, Advaita, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? And Advaita Acharya says, oh, wherever you are is Vrindavan. And he's thinking, oh no, Nityananda. He sees that they've tricked him, and he starts coming out of his divine trance into somewhat normal consciousness. They go to the Advaita Charja's house in Shantipur, have a big feast. Mother Sachi comes because he hasn't eaten for 3 days. And that's why after the feast, when they start dancing, they're thinking, oh, he doesn't have his full strength. They're very careful. And Advaita Charja, like we hear Madhavendra, Advaita Charja, he starts singing this song that's also like a song of Radharani. And his song is, because he's saying to Mahaprabhu, you've been cheating me, trying to hide yourself. Now I've got you in my house, and sings this song saying, How happy I am that my Lord has returned from Mathura and has come to my house. right? Maheshwari deity is born in Mathura. But here, so Krishna is saying, or Advaita Acharya, like Radharani, is saying, now Krishna's come back. So it's the song, think of it. The most intense thing is separation of Krishna. This is the song sung by Radharani upon Krishna's return that we don't even know anything about. It's so mysterious, deep, and profound. But yet this is what she sings. Advaita is singing the same song when Mahaprabhu is at his house. And Mother Sachi comes. Anyway, they have a big feast. There's so many wonderful things described there. Sometimes I just read them and have a feast by reading them. And in one purport, Prabhupada says, after naming all these more or less indescribable things, some of them we've seen, but many of them you might know, we don't know what they are. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, the editors should take note and include these in our cookbook. So, but anyway, at that time, they're to decide, what shall Mahaprabhu do? There's Mother Sachi, she's Yashoda. It's Mother Yashoda from Krishna Leela, now is Mother Sachi and Gaura Leela. How can she tolerate the separation? And Mahaprabhu says to her that, Mother, you own this body. It belongs to you. You, whatever you decide. But she knows she doesn't want any blame to come to Mahaprabhu after taking sannyas. Shouldn't live with the family, this, that, the other thing. So she makes a compromise. To her, that is a compromise. And asks that he will reside in Puri. And that way the devotees are going every year for Rath Yatra. She'll get some news. Sometimes he'll come to Bengal for like Ganga Puja or to bathe in the Ganga. She'll get some news. This is what they do. And that's when Mahaprabhu goes with Nityananda and the others to Puri. And after he arrives, he enters the divine state of trance and ecstatic transformation, because we're told he's searching for Krishna. Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Badan Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajendranandan. So hearing, seeing Jagannath as Shama Goparup, as Shamasundar Krishna, he cannot control himself, and what's described as Adiruddha Mahabhav, he enters the seventh stage of depth of Krishna Prem. And Saraswati Thakur, quoting Rupa Goswami, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he gives some description of this. We can't hardly repeat it. But he's saying, when there are different types of ecstatic symptoms, hair standing on end, perspiration, trembling, crying, all kinds of things. He's saying, when a few of these are present, the stage is called, what is it? Dumalita means like smoking stage, just like when you make and there's smoke. When they become when all of them are fully lit, it's called like the ignite the fiery stage. When all of them are ignited to like a thousand, all ecstatic symptoms are present to a thousandth degree magnitude. That's the stage that Mahaprabhu is experiencing, right? Where it means blazing. These ecstatic symptoms are blazing in the divine form of Mahaprabhu, so much so that he loses consciousness. And he's lying before the deity of Jagannath, and it's the time is coming for part of the puja, and the guards are thinking that this is some sort of a sentimental pilgrim, and they're going to drag him out of the temple. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya appears, and he cautions them to allow him to conduct a test, and he puts some cotton swab before, because it appears that he's appearing lifeless. And he sees by the cotton swab just a little bit the fibers are moving, which means somehow he's still alive. So again, we're told by Rupa Goswami, the 10th stage separation is death, actually. So he appears lifeless, just like the Guru Maharaj's sloka, the Gadadhar Pranam. Nilambodhi tate sada sabiraha kepan vitam bandabam Srimad Bhagavati katha madiraya sanjeevayan bhatiya. That his friend, svaviraha, feeling separation from himself, that is Radha Baba Duti Subalita Nomi Krishna Sarupam, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the point. We're aspiring in this line. Everything is interpreted through Mahaprabhu's opinions of things. Guru says, Chaitanya Saraswat means the Gaudiya Darshan, means the way Mahaprabhu sees things. So many things can be said about all these things. How does Mahaprabhu see it? So after that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gets some devotees. They carry Mahaprabhu to his house. He's lying there in an internal trance that lasts for some 6-9 hours. The Nityananda Prabhu, other devotees come. They meet with Gopinathacharya. They make way to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he thinks that Mahaprabhu is a great devotee, right? Which is not untrue, but that's what he's thinking. He's not thinking he's Swayam Bhagavan. He's saying he's some sort of a Siddha Purush, you know, of the highest section of liberated souls, because he's saying these symptoms that we're observing in him, we've only read about them in the scriptures. We've never actually witnessed this. It's beyond human. So, but he's not thinking Swayam Bhagavan, that he's divinity. Later, in contrast to the Rasaraj Mahabhav Duyaka Rup revelation that to Ramananda, that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is revealing his Radha and Krishna combined. To Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, revealed the Sadbhuj Murti, six arm, to show his divinity, called Ishvara Tattva. Right? Not Radha Tattva, Ishvara, showing his divinity, that who was Ramachandra, who was Krishna, has now appeared as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhauma writes that Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga, those 100 beautiful slokas glorifying Sri Chaitanya Dev. But this causes Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his interaction with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is going to visit South India, where Dakina Desh is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as being where the religion is strongest in India. India as a whole, Bharatvarsha, Punya Bhumi, I mentioned, when we used to travel around India, there was a 4-volume series of books that tells you every holy place in India. And so in our van, when we would drive along, all you'd have to do is open this book and you'd find someplace, wherever we were. I don't care where you drove. Just get in your car, start driving, look in that book, you'll find a holy place. So we think of certain places, of course, like Chardham, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip, etc. They're very extraordinary holy places, but there are so many holy places now, right? So why did I mention that? So Mahaprabhu, he's going, having taken sannyas, he's going to tour South India, and that's where all the different sampradayas have their strongest, fullest representation, and he's going to demonstrate the superiority of Krishna conception there, to the Tattvavadis, the Sri Vaishnavas, even the Buddhists are there. Everybody is there. But on his way, so Sarvabhauma is giving him some advice. Actually, at first he wanted to upgrade Mahaprabhu, thinking him, he's 24 years old, a young sannyasi, right? In that Varnashram system, normally you should only take sannyas in your 50s, right? From approximately 24 to 50s, Grihastha Ashram, then Vanaprastha for 5 years. So in your mid-50s, one could take sannyas. Here he is, 24 years old, and so beautiful, Gauranga Sundar. Sarvabhauma is saying, if he doesn't learn Vedanta, it might be hard for him to keep his sannyas. So he's saying, and I'm the man, I can train him and also upgrade his sannyas. When he heard his name was, guru's name was Bharati, Kesava Bharati, he's saying, that's a second class. I can upgrade him, give him an upgrade, teach him Vedanta and help the young man. Right? And that's when he starts explaining Vedanta. Day after day, and Mahaprabhu's sitting and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saying, like, give some indication that you can. I know it's deep what I'm saying. It's really, you know, it's like high philosophy, but I can go explain some things to you if you're not fully grasping what I'm saying. But at least you could, like, nod or give some indication that you understand. And Mahaprabhu said, I understand Vedanta perfectly. I just don't understand what you're saying. And Sarvabhauma went, Oh, I see. So you can explain these. And then, they go back and forth. Atmarama Slok, Sarvabhauma gives 9 explanations. Mahaprabhu gives 18. Then, by his mercy, let's say, Atapite Deva Padambuja Dvaya Prashad Aleshanu Grihita Evahi. It's all about mercy. Prasada Lesh means a little bit of prasad. Guru Maharaj was 23. He had a teacher who was like, I don't know, maybe in his 70s or 80s. And Guru Maharaj is very impressed with his knowledge. He had what he called Sat Darshan, complete mastery of the 6 philosophical systems of India. So at one point, Guru Maharaj innocently, naively told him, with all your vast knowledge and learning, you should direct your study to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Dev. Just think how wonderful that would be. And he said, that teacher told him, he said, oh, my boy, it is not a question of, you know, academic prowess or intellectual ability, you have to get some mercy. So that, he said humbly. But similar to that question the other day, he said, that man was of the opinion, first we should learn the Advaitin oneness, like Shankara, we go from Buddha to Shankara to Madhva, like, and then come to this line. We should gradually make our approach. What do you think? And Guru Maharaj said, I see what you're saying, but that is not what Sri Chaitanya Dev says. He doesn't say, try to go through all the different philosophical systems step by step, but rather to risk everything and run toward Krishna conception. So when, on Sarvabhauma's advice, he says, having been upgraded by Mahaprabhu, the Sadbhuj Murti revealed, he now understands his divinity, and he also understands some of the foolishness of his past. He's thinking, Ramananda, I mocked in the past as like, oh, he's a devotee. He's a Vaishnava. He made fun of him, thinking he was some kind of a sentimentalist. But now, having been upgraded by Mahaprabhu, remember, Sarvabhauma is Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods who's descended and entering Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He's been upgraded to Gaur-lila. So he now can understand in retrospect how exalted is Ramananda. So he tells Mahaprabhu, when you go to Godavari on your tour, please meet with Ramananda Roy. He's the fit person. And the instructions that Ramananda gives to Mahaprabhu, Guru Maharaj said, we may take it that Ishwara Puri initiated Mahaprabhu, Keshava Bharati gave him sannyas, Nimai Pandit, and Ramananda, who's Vishakha Sakhi, we may take it, he's his Ragamarg Diksha Guru. So in that conversation, this is the point I wanted to come to, just took the long way, is Mahaprabhu is asking him, how should we proceed in life? Like, what's the purpose of life, the goal of life? How do you achieve that? And the first thing Ramananda says, it's going to be a Hegelian-style dialogue, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, moving in that way. He quotes this, Varnashrama Charvata. This was... Nanya tat hari toshanam bishman. I forgot now. I said it before. Anyway, he mentions the Varnashram system. Vishnu aradyate, the worship of Vishnu, Vishnu aradhana. How society can be organized and structured in such a way as to march towards Vaikuntha. Right. And Mahaprabhu says, Iho Bahya, that is external. Right? And by implication, there's not enough time for that. We're also told, Janmana Jayate Shudra, everyone in Kali Yuga is really Shudra, or Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Right? That system, four varnas, four ashrams, that it hasn't even existed in India in a pure state for hundreds or thousands of years. The system has degraded into janma karma, by birth, not by qualities or tendencies. So then, interestingly, not only is Varnashram rejected, but then he starts quoting the Bhagavad Gita. And this is of note. He's quoting, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. That, Mahaprabhu says, is external. Bhagavad Gita slokas are being told to be external. Why? Guru Maharaj said, because it means one is on the threshold of devotion. They're outside the door, haven't gone entered yet. Because when it says, mad bhaktim labhate param, then from this position, they can make advancements. So it still means being on the outside. So one thing after another is being rejected by Mahaprabhu as being external. What is the first thing that he accepts? Jnane prayasa murapasa namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya bhartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito piyasi taistrilokyam. It says stane stita shrutigatam. Here, he's transcended the whole system of varna and ashram, saying, whatever your situation is, means whether you're legitimately in one of the four varnas or four ashrams or outside of the system, sthanesthita shrutigatam, whatever your position is, begin hearing from an agent of Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. Begin hearing Krishna conception from them. We told in the Gopi Gita, tavakatamritam taptajivanam kavibir iditam kalmasya apaham sravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grananti te buridajana. If you want to do something really wonderful for somebody, then connect them with Krishna's agent so they can begin hearing about Krishna. Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhavam suroruham. And on the stream of divine sound carries Krishna conception into the heart. Right? And that can be regardless of one's social position or spirit, any social, spirit, any type of position, ashramic or otherwise. No diksham, na cha satkriyam, na purushcharjam mana gikshate. Rupa Goswami says, no prerequisites. Like when in school, when there are certain subjects, you ever seen in like a college catalog, they show some subject and you might be interested in that. And then it says, but prerequisite, to take this class, you will have to have already taken these other two classes. Otherwise you can't get it, right? You know, oh, I really wanted to study that. Right? But it says, no diksham na cha satkriyam na purushcharjam mana gikshate mantroyam rasana sprigeva palati Sri Krishna namat maka. When Krishna wants to assert himself, that is, there's nothing that can obstruct that. There's no disqualification. When you say, what is Bhagavat Dharma? When Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharaj were recollecting how they met each other, one of the meetings was on the Brajamandal Parikrama of Srila Saraswati Thakur and his followers. And where were they? This place called, is there a place called Koshi? Right? And there's a deity near there called Sheshai. It's a type of, you know, reclining Vishnu. Sheshai Vishnu, and it has some connection with pastimes of Brajagopis. So, so they have a camp there, Saraswati Thakur is there, and an announcement is made that the sannyasis, they're going to lead a parikrama to the Sheshai Vishnu. But that Saraswati Thakur, for those who remain behind, he's going to be giving a lecture. So it's hard to imagine, like, who wouldn't stay behind. But I mean, anyway, that's what they're presented. So Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj are talking, and Prabhupada, he says, it's that famous where they're sitting on the Vyasa San together. And Prabhupada said, I'm thinking, if I go to see Sheshai, what will I see? You know. And Guru Maharaj laughs and says, yes, I exercise. Like, that's all it'll be. And he said, so I'm going to stay and listen to Prabhupada. And Guru Maharaj also stayed. So, and Saraswati Thakur, you know, as a footnote, Swami Maharaj Prabhupada said, Saraswati Thakur noted that, like, oh, he didn't go. He stayed. You know, he's eager to hear. Anyway, Guru Maharaj, not only, I mean, that would be enough to remember. That's sweet enough, and that's all they mentioned at that time. But at another time, Guru Maharaj, he also recalled the lecture that Srila Saraswati Thakur gave and what he talked about. And he said, and why he was glad that he stayed, was he said he gave a extraordinary, like revolutionary conception about Govardhan and the significance of Govardhan. So we can say the mystical significance of Krishna being situated by caste in the middle of Varnashram system. Because we have Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmin. And the cowherds, the Gowalas, they're Vaishyas. So they're not in the highest position. Nimai Pandit is a Brahmin, scholar, teacher, but not Krishna. So we see some places where some queen, Dwarka queens, are saying, how could you fall for a cowherd? You're a Kshatriya princess. You know, have you lost your senses? But anyway, so in the middle position, and in light of what we said the last time we spoke, Guru Maharaj is saying always, in the middle, you'll find the highest position. It's like the Naralila of Krishna, the six middle chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, and why Krishna is in the middle of the so-called Varnashram system. So Saraswati Thakur explained that the cow men, when they're increasing the number of cows, there's no consideration like of Brahmin cow, Kshatriya cow, Vaishya cow, Shudra cow. But they have the bull, the potent source, and they're making cows. Like, what was that cow's name in Calcutta? Davali. There was this little cow, white. She was, Davali means a white cow. Anyway, this little white cow, she just like wandered in off the street or something. Oh, he gave her to you. So she was Lalita's cow. Anyway, she lived like at the Dum Dum Park driveway for like a few years. Then somehow she made it out to Navadvip, where they have like cows from Switzerland, very high class, you know, like French cow. Cows from all, they've got from all over the world. But this little cow, Davali, she also went there. She calved, and that's the system he's saying. So, and why he's relating it, Krishna's a Vaishya. He's a cowherd. When he wants to expand his conception, he's not considering Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, no such consideration. That's what it says. No diksham, na cha satkriyam, na puruscharjam, mana gikshate. Not even remotely thinking that way. Right? So there's this sloka in the Venu Gita where the Braja Gopi, they say, they're praising Govardhan. Hantaya madralabala haridasa barja. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayas Tayoryat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kanda Mule. They're referring to Govardhan as Haridas. And Biswanath Chakrabarti Thakur says three Haridases we can conceive. One is actually Yudhisthira Maharaj. Another is Uddhava. And he said, and third is Govardhan. And of the three, the Braja Gopis say, Hantaya Madhulabhada Abala Haridasa Varja. You're the best Haridas, Govardhan. Why? And this is a little mysterious. We're worshiping Giriraj Govardhan. And mainly as like Krishna. But Guru Maharaj said, really he's similar to Mahaprabhu. In the line of Jiva Goswami's thought, Anta Krishna Bihir Gauram Darshi Tangari Vaibhavam, that internally is Krishna, but externally in the mood of a devotee. Govardhan is more like that. Hare Krishna. We have so many friends here. No. Then go. Take her away. They're our friends. Don't do that. Let the tick-ticky go. The tick-tickies are good. They do seva. He is? Okay. Hare Krishna. What, the tick-ticky? Just make it go somewhere. No, they're good on the walls. I don't like them crawling on me. But, you know, they eat insects and things like that. They're also serving in the mat. Ranganath Das Goswami says, Yat kinchit vigu maki katamukam goste samastamitat sarvananda mukunda doita lilanukulam param. Das Goswami says, the insects in the dam are mukunda doita. They're dear to Mukunda. Why? Lilanukul. Lila anukul. They're doing things favorable for the pastimes. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti points out, when all these confidential pastimes take place, remember, certain even exalted personalities cannot go, but the bees can go, and they can actually be there. So Das Goswami is saying, we also revere them. And the tick-tickies, they really revere them. Anyway. So, what was I saying? Talking about Krishna. Oh, and the Govardhan and the Haridas. Giriraj Govardhan. Oh, and expansion of Krishna conception. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You may have been born in Mathura. I mean, not you may have, you were. And that's very fortunate. And Sandeep's from Hastinapur. So, but what hope would there be for all of us if Krishna wasn't a cowherd? Oh, so back to that sloka. It's interesting. It says, Haridasa Varja, Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. So one, the general meaning we'll think is, Giriraj Govardhan, when Krishna and Balaram's lotus feet are touching, is very, promode means happy, like intense happiness. Imagine, they're there, Govardhan supplying, waterfalls, caves, grass, everything necessary for the pastimes. So that's the way it's generally taken, and is very happy to receive the imprints of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. But Sanatana Goswami Prabhu in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika says, and he gives many ways we can understand these things, he's Sanatana Goswami. He's saying that actually Govardhan's happiness is bringing others in connection with the lotus feet of Krishna, and by extension, Krishna and Balaram, and the Brajagopis in these pastimes. And when I read that, I said, oh, this is in line with what Gurumar said, Saraswati Thakur spoke that evening about the mysterious position of Govardhan as being that we say it's our ultimate plane of aspiration, but it's also the plane that's distributing Krishna conception. And that's why we're very happy to be here under the divine glance of Giriraj Govardhan and what we perceive as Gupta Govardhan. So, still, Saraswati Thakur spoke of Deva Varnashram, that people may have different qualities, tendencies that are Varnashram like. If that will be connected with Krishna, then it will hold its rightful position. Then it's tenable. Right? But As we say, I remember being in India and doing life membership, and sometimes you'd meet a man in an office, and we always see what their name is on a plaque, you know. And sometimes you'd see a name like Banerjee, Chatterjee, or something like that. And then but sometimes you'll see the original name, Bandyopadhyay, Chattopadhyay, Upadhyay. They were Brahmin teachers, right? And the Varnashram system, gurus, a guru line, like Guru Maharaj is fine. Bhattacharya, think about it. Bhatta and the word acharya, Bhattacharya. So sometimes, just naively saying, oh, Mr. Chatterjee, Chattopadhyay, when you'd realize you're dealing with someone who was Brahmin from a very like high Brahmin family. This is like 1974. It's a little different then. In Calcutta, all the men were wearing dhotis. Only in Delhi and Bombay, they were wearing pants. But in Calcutta, every man was wearing a dhoti when I first went there. Very few wore pants. And they had those kurtas where their wives do something with a hanger that makes the sleeves go like an accordion. When they would walk in the street, they have like their dhoti and their pinkies and they're walking along talking. It was really quite a sight and gave us a lot of joy having, come from America. We wanted to believe that everyone in India was Krishna conscious and loved Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Still, I was walking down Park Street in Calcutta last year, and someone went, Jai Nitai! And everything, like, where in the world would anybody do that? Like, someone might go, Hare Krishna! But they see you, and someone goes, Jai Nitai! But saying to the man, we'd say, oh, Mr. Bandyopadhyay. And they'd go, like, you'd see a look of pain on their face, because... Why? They were saying, according to my caste in the system, I shouldn't have a job. I've accepted employment, which is degradation for a Brahmin. Right? That was not the Vedic system. Right? So they were sometimes embarrassed when they would think of their lineage and their past and their ancestors and how things once were. Look, even Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath, they were called Kayastas. That in the system of that time, they couldn't be fully accepted in Brahminical culture. Although they were a type of Brahmin, but they couldn't be fully revered. So when a book like the Hari Bhakti Vilas was presented back to South India, Dakina Desh, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, coming from the Sri Sampradaya, was indisputably from the higher section of Brahminical culture. So Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they put Gopal Bhatta's name on the book so that Brahmins would accept it. The Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, I was there when Srila Prabhupada installed the deities. There was a lot of discussion about how that would happen. And Prabhupada one day said, we can just have a kirtan. He said, we can chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and have a big feast and a kirtan, and that would be fine. He said, but the people won't accept that. So they more or less hired some South Indian Brahmins who came with big tilak, big tulsi mala, big spoons and big bellies, and they chanted big mantras, and everybody thought there's a big god on the altar. But we look at Radha Raman. His size is like that, but he's so powerful. You remember seeing him. So these things, where they're meaningful, we're giving some recognition to that. Like Srila Gurudev would say, if we have a problem on the calendar establishing some particular date or how to observe some particular observance, he said, Guru Maharaj quotes Sanatana Goswami saying, then just follow what they do in Puri. Right? Whatever those pundits have decided there, just follow that and you'll be okay. Right? But those people themselves were originally, what were they called? Saburas. They were like tribal people from the lower section of society. Jagannath, being supremely merciful, accepted that they would be his servitors. Right? And then they have a line that's descended from them. So it's really, what is the will of Krishna? So there were times previously when the Vedic culture was in full swing, where the Varnashram Dharma and culture was being followed very perfectly. But due to the influence of time and the degradation of time, it turned into something else. And with the advent of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his establishing Gaudiya Math, Guru Maharaj said in comparison, he told Bhakti Vinod, we want to make a comparison. Well, here. Grihe tako, bani tako, sadahari bole dako. Or what is Naratam? Grihe ba, bonete take, ha goranga bole dake. They're both saying the same thing. Whether, you know, you're grihe and grihasta ashram, bani in the forest, sannyas. You know, if you saying loudly the holy name of Gauranga, and I want your association. Grihe ba bonete take ha Gauranga bole dake. That's Naratam. And Bhaktivinoda is similar. But Saraswati Thakur was of the opinion there's not enough time. So jump, take the risk. He reintroduced the sannyas ashram, which we can say is like Varnashram, but Devak in this sense, for preaching, right? Below, revering Pujala Ragapat Gora Babange Matala Sarujana Bishayarange, revering the real Babajis, means Rup, Sanatan, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and one step below in the highest ashram, sannyas ashram, but it's below the Paramahansas who are beyond. From that position, he began his missionary activities of the Gaudiya Math. But why? There was a reason to attract the attention and the reverence of the public. Just like Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas knowing that the people who were previously offending him, as a sannyasi, they'd have to show him some respect. And by showing him respect, they would benefit. So Saraswati Thakur, he employed this aspect of Varnashram, but not karma sannyas, but this, how do you say, the Tridandi sannyas, the Vaishnava sannyas, that for preaching, for bringing others in connection with Krishna consciousness, like that. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. That idea. So, I know it's a favorite topic of some devotees. This Prabhupada would sort of fantasize about reintroducing Varnashram, reorganizing the world and all that. But if we can ourselves pursue Krishna consciousness faithfully, that'll put us in a good position to deal with others. But how to reorganize society, the world, that's not on our plate right now. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, he used this one cricket term, the all-rounder. That's what he liked devotees to be. To be able, not that, one only does brahminical kind of things and someone else only does this and that type of seva. He liked the all-rounder because that's what he was, who's ready to do, and Prabhupada's phrase, the needful, whatever needs to be done. So if someone needs to act in a brahminical capacity, we're prepared for that. They do some puja, act in another capacity, they're prepared to do that. Whatever is the service necessity, that's our guiding principle. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo.